In Psalm chapter 5, if you'll look with me at verse 12, the Bible says, "For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." To have the favor of God is to receive a special kindness from Him. He is supreme. We are His subjects. And when He shows favor to us, He's giving us a special grace or a special kindness in our relationship with Him. And as I read through the Bible, I'll find from time to time where God has given favor to somebody, or God says that He'll give favor to a certain kind of person, or a person with a certain a thing, like this: the righteous. "Thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." And you know, honestly, I want to be in favor with God. And I want you to find favor with God. And so what we'll do today is we're going to look at a few passages. We won't exhaust the subject. But we'll look at a few passages to help you in your relationship with the Lord to find favor with Him and to know that you have favor with Him. Now, before we go through and actually look at the four things that God will bless with favor in your life and in mine, I want to show you a couple of people who had favor with the Lord, and you'll understand that the fact that they were outstanding characters had a lot to do with God's favor. Keeping your finger where you are, let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Samuel is somebody that found favor with the Lord. And of course, if you don't know about Samuel, Israel is in the land of Canaan. They're in the promised land. While they are there, from time to time, they are attacked by enemies. 1 Samuel chapter 2 is where you're going. They're attacked by enemies. And when they cry out to God in their affliction, God raises up a judge for them. Samson was one of their judges. Gideon was one of their judges. And these judges deliver them, and then they are judges over them, and then Israel goes back into apostasy, and God raises up another judge. And so we go through the period of the judges, and then you come to here, and what you have is you have this man and his wife. He actually has two wives, but Hannah, his wife, they come to the tabernacle each year to offer sacrifice, and Hannah doesn't have a child. And she prays earnestly, and God says He's going to give her a child. In reply to her vow, "If you give me a child, I'll lend him to the Lord for the rest of his life." Samuel is that child. And Samuel, as it turns out, becomes the greatest judge that Israel ever had during the period of the judges. He's an excellent man. But you know what? He was a child when he was given by Hannah to Eli the priest to go to work in the tabernacle, to help in those things of God. So he has early childhood influence in the ways of the Lord. Even as a young man, the Lord speaks to him directly about what God's going to do to the house of Eli. So he's got this very special relationship. Notice in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 26, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 26, "The child Samuel." So this began in his life at a very early age. "The child Samuel grew on and was in favor, both with the Lord and also with men." It's very common when you actually are in favor with God that you'll also be in favor with men. What happens to men is that they typically will court favor with men and not concern themselves with favor with God. But He says, "You gain favor with me, I can also give you favor with men." And that was Samuel. Samuel was in favor with the Lord. But do you understand he is the greatest judge that Israel ever had. And it's favor with the Lord that brought him to that prominence. Do you get it? Okay. Now I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 1, still keeping your finger in Psalm 5. You can let 1 Samuel go. Luke chapter 1, And I'll show you somebody else that we know well that had favor with the Lord. And this is Mary. In Luke chapter 1, look with me in verse 28. So in verse 27, a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. A virgin's name was Mary. All right, verse 28. The angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that are highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Isn't that a tremendous blessing? All right, so this young virgin, she's obviously not the only virgin, right? In the house of David at this time. But God said, that's the woman right there. I'm going to use that woman to fulfill my prophecy to Israel that a son shall be born, Isaiah 9, and this son shall be born to a virgin, Isaiah chapter 7. That's a tremendous thing there. Highly favored, the Lord is with thee. So Samuel, an outstanding character of the Old Testament, greatest judge they had. Mary, the virgin, chosen by God Almighty for the birth of her son, of his son. This is a tremendous thing. In other words, finding favor with the Lord is something of great value. Finding favor with the Lord is something to be treated with a great deal of respect. Something that should be sought after, if it's possible to attain that, by something you've done. You don't really see necessarily that Samuel did anything to find that level of favor with the Lord. He was certainly willing to be given by his mother to the work of the tabernacle. Mary was certainly willing to be used by God as her womb to be the place of the conception of the Lord Jesus Christ and to be the mother of Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. But there are things in the Bible that you and I can do whereby we will have favor with the Lord. And you see how important it is. You see how special it is to have this favor and what it does in the life of Mary, what it does in the life of Samuel, what it will do in your life if you concern yourself with God's favor. Do you understand? We grow up in a society, and many of us in this room grew up fearing men. We called it being people pleasers. But we were very concerned that people would like us, that we would be in favor with people. Children feel it in school. They call it peer pressure. The Bible calls it the fear of man. And God says, I don't want you to concern yourself with any of that. I want you to concern yourself with finding favor with me. Because that's very important. And when you find favor with me, as is the case with Samuel, you'll have favor with the men with whom I want you to have favor. You won't have favor with all men, but you'll have favor with the right men. That's very important for us to understand that we should concern ourselves literally and exclusively with favor with God. And so here in Psalm chapter 5, verse 12, we see the first way to have favor with God, and that is this: the Lord will bless those who are righteous with favor. The Lord will bless those who are righteous with favor. Today, the only righteousness that we concern ourselves with is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Nobody in this room has enough righteousness to find so much favor with God that He would allow you to go to heaven. But every person in this room either has or can have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and by that have favor with the Lord to be now in heaven and with Him in heaven for eternity when you die. I want you to listen very carefully. Most of us in here already have the righteousness of Jesus Christ is our current possession. But I recognize that while we're here today, there may be somebody that does not, listen very carefully, does not currently have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Listen, you are not yet in favor with the Lord if you don't have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's a gift, that righteousness. You don't earn it. You're not good enough to produce it, and you can't match it. What you do is you come to a place where you recognize, I am not worthy. I am not that good. I am a sinner for whom He died. And I want the righteousness of Jesus Christ because I want the favor of God to be considered His child. Listen very carefully. If you're here today without the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you are a child of the devil. There are only two spiritual families in the world. Only two. Now you may think to yourself, well, I haven't done anything to make myself a child of the devil. You don't have to. You get that as a result of what happened with Adam and Eve, and it comes down to you. There are a lot of people right now that are sitting here with you that are patiently listening to me proclaim the gospel for your benefit. In other words, what I'm preaching to them right now, they're amening because they know it's true, but it's not causing them to change anything about their lives. They've already received Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're already saved. But they're patient enough to listen to me preach about the righteousness of Jesus Christ for your sake, because if you're here today and you're not saved, they want you to be saved. And I want you to be saved. And you can be saved. Because the righteousness of Jesus Christ is a gift. And once you have it, you have favor with God. So much so, listen, He no longer calls you a child of the devil. He calls you a child of God. You're His child. And you know, God takes good care of His children. He shines with special favor on those that are His. Please, I'm not going to stay on this point any longer. I'm going to move on to another point. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, without His righteousness, you know it. In every one of our hearts who has received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the child of God. The Holy Spirit's not bearing witness with your spirit because you're not child of God. Do you understand that? When I was sitting where you are sitting and I was not saved, I knew immediately when I heard a young man give a testimony of Jesus Christ that he had something, listen, that I did not have. Do you understand I'm preaching about something that you don't have if you're not saved? And you can have if you'll trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He'll bless you with favor by calling you a child of God. He'll give you His grace, His strength, His power, His sound mind, His love, His fruit, His holiness, His righteousness, and a home in heaven and fellowship with you. And that's favor. And that's worth having. You don't want to walk out of here without it. If the Holy Spirit is bringing any conviction your way this morning that you are not yet a child of God and you need to be one, at the end of this message, I'm going to offer an invitation for you to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm going to ask you during that invitation while we're singing a hymn to simply acknowledge that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. We've asked people to actually leave their seat and come forward if they want to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. They've done it. We had a follow-up visit with them, and they know there's a big smile on their face. And why is that smile on their face? Because they know, I'm now a child of God. How many of you right now, I want you to look around. If you're not saved, I want you to watch this. How many of you right now would raise your hand and say, I have favor with God because I'm righteous in Jesus Christ. Look all around you. If you couldn't raise your hand, you need to be saved. you could be saved today. You should be. If you want favor with God, He's going to let you live with Him for eternity. The alternative is horrible. A fiery hell for eternity? I wouldn't recommend that to my worst enemy. Turn with me now to Proverbs chapter 3. So that takes care of God's righteousness. Most of us, let me tell you something. If you have God's righteousness, you know what the Bible says? You are accepted in the Beloved. Don't be walking around here with a mopey face. I don't know whether God loves me. He loves you. You have favor with Him because of His righteousness. Get over yourself. Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 3 and 4. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. See it? There it is again, just like it was for Samuel. Favor with God, favor with man. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. The second way to have favor with God. The Lord will bless those who hold to mercy and truth with favor. Mercy and truth. Mercy to the Lord will bless those who hold to mercy and truth with favor. Mercy and truth. You ought to, when you get home, if you like to do Bible studies on your own, you ought to type in your concordance mercy and truth and see how many times those two words appear together as a couplet. They're like a pipe and a fitting. They go together. They're like a hand and a glove. They go together. They're a couplet. They work together, mercy and truth. You know, the problem, for instance, is this. You remember in the day of Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ was here on the earth and He was in His earthly ministry, who was it that He had so much trouble with everywhere He went? The Pharisees. The Pharisees, the religious crowd. And why did Jesus Christ have trouble with the religious crowd? Because they weren't interested in mercy. They were interested in sacrifice. They were interested in doing something to impress God. And they also were not interested in truth. They were interested in their understanding of the truth. They were interested in the tradition that came from the words of God that they had manipulated to sort of form their own tradition. That's what they were interested in. So they were not interested in mercy. They were interested in sacrifice. God be impressed with what we're doing. And they were not interested in truth. They were interested in their understanding and manipulation of truth. They were interested in their tradition. And so Jesus Christ had trouble with these guys everywhere He went. Everywhere He went. And you know something? The religious crowd is the problem today. It's the same thing. Men are not different. Cain was the first religious person on earth, and when he met a real righteous man, his brother named Abel, he killed him. And the Pharisees were responsible for the death of Jesus Christ. It is the nature of men to be religious. It is the nature of men to follow their tradition. It is the nature of men to try to do something to impress their concept of God. I'm going to tell you something. If that's you, you have not found favor with God. I know people today, because I was raised in this kind of church, a religious church, I know people today who walk around believing that they have favor with God because they pray the rosary every day. They don't have favor with God doing that, and they don't even have favor with Mary who had favor with God, even though they say over 50 Hail Marys when they pray the rosary. But I feel like I have favor with God. You have favor with your concept of God, but you don't have favor with the God of the Bible. And there's a big difference there. People will say, well, all the religions lead to the same place. They do, straight down. You jump on that elevator, you push down because that's where it goes. And every one of them goes to the same place. If you want to go up, you want to have favor with God, you got to come by mercy and truth. There is not a sacrifice that you can offer God will accept. There's not a sacrifice you can offer that will impress Him. What will impress Him is this, that you accept His mercy because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That will impress Him. Because He loves His Son. And He loves what His Son did. And you're going to have to come to Him in truth. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. For you to find favor with God, you got to be truthful with God about what He sees in your life from the perspective of God, what He sees. And when you're truthful with God about what He sees in your life, and you seek His mercy because of the truth of what you've seen in His life, He extends the mercy and He gives you favor. But you're going to have to deal with Him on His terms. Mercy and truth. You know the thing about, here's the thing about it is, when you are absolutely truthful with God about you, you know what you know about you? I'm worthless. I'm not saying that about you. Actually, I'm saying that about myself. Although I know you are worthless. When I say worthless, you're worth everything to God as far as salvation is concerned. But your righteousness is worth nothing to Him. Not as far as salvation is concerned. Not as far as your walk with Him is concerned. So every person here now that's saved, listen. You come to the Lord in truth about you and His Word. You shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. You deal with the Lord in truth about yourself. God extends mercy to you when you're in truth. Here's what happened. I'm talking to saved people now. I'm not talking to lost people. I'm talking about saved people. I'm talking about the vast majority of the people. I saw the hands that went up. That's the vast majority of the people that are in this room. Right now, the truth of the matter is, you've got to be truthful with God about where you are with God if you want to have favor with God. Now, if you don't care anything about favor with God, I pity you. But if you care about having favor with God, you're going to have to be truthful to God, with God about who you really are and what you really are. And when you are truthful with Him, He will be merciful to you. You know what I found out? You know what I found out about people who are truthful with God about the condition of our own lives? He shows us that we're covetous. He shows us of the evil concupiscence in our hearts. He shows us the pride that's in our hearts. He shows us the fear that's in our heart and all the other stuff that's in there, perhaps greed and other pitiful things like that. He shows you that in your heart, envy that may be there, bitterness that may be there. When you are truthful with God about that stuff and He extends mercy, you are merciful with other people who are having the same kind of problem. And when you're not truthful with God about that, you are not merciful with other people who are having the same problem. You're critical of them. An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. When you have been truthful with God and received His mercy, you don't go around running down other people, either in your mind or with your mouth. Because you understand the level of mercy it took to deal with the truthful condition of your life, and you want to be as merciful with them as God has been with you. Under the merciful, God is merciful. It changes your whole, it changes your relationship. That's why in Proverbs chapter 3, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Because men like it when they know you're being truthful, and they like it when they know you've received the mercy and you're extending the mercy to them. That brings you into favor with each other. Listen, we're all sinners in here. Saved by the grace of God, thank God. But if it wasn't for His grace, where would we be? Truth and mercy. Truth and mercy. Truth and mercy. They go together. And when you are there and God knows you're there, you have favor with God, and there's nothing like going to sleep with your head on your pillow at night knowing you and God are on good terms with each other. Proverbs chapter 8. You want to have favor with God? Get saved. All right? You say, well, I'm already saved. Good. You hold on to mercy and truth. If you find yourself becoming critical of other people, you probably have an area in your life where you've not been truthful with God and you've not been able to receive His mercy in that area. You get there with God and you know what? Your relationship with Him and with others will change. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8 is an excellent proverb. It starts out in verse 1, doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? And then the whole proverb is about wisdom speaking like a person. I love this proverb. Look at verse 5, O you simple, understand wisdom, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Every time I read that, I think he's talking to me. Why? Because I feel like a simple fool. I know I am. And I come to him that way because I want his wisdom. Verse 6, he says, Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. My mouth shall speak truth. Don't you want to know the truth? Verse 8 says, All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing froward or perverse in them. They're all plain to him that understandeth and right to them that find knowledge. Then he says this in verses 10 and 11, Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Every person in this room that is responsible is making a living. You understand with God it's really more about living than making a living? You understand that, don't you? All right. But everybody gets concerned about that, and you're thinking about, I got to do this, that, and the other thing in order to, you know, get the money in, pay the bills, and all that. I get that. And when it concerns wisdom, the Lord says, be more concerned with my instruction than you are with silver and gold. Wisdom is better, he says. Right? And then look here in verse 17. I love them. I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me. You see what he's saying? I talk to people like this all the time about the Bible. Are you reading the Bible? Well, you know, whatever the excuse is, right? Sold a million. They've got a bunch of excuses. If you love these words... Hello. We together? You're going to seek these words early if you love them. If you don't love them, then they're not going to mean much to you. Riches and honor, verse 18, are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. And then he comes down here and explains all kinds of things. It's just so beautiful. It's a fabulous proverb. And then he says, verse 33, hear instruction. And be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me watching, how often? Daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Do you get up in the morning? I don't know when you read, but many of you read in the morning. You get up in the morning and do whatever your routine is. Many of you like to make a cup of coffee or tea or chocolate or whatever you make. Do you sit down and open your Bible and say, I'm coming to the gates of wisdom today. I'm waiting at the post of your doors. I'm looking. I'm seeking early. I love these words. Do you come like that? If you do, verse 35, whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. There you go. You want favor with the Lord? The Lord will bless those who find wisdom with favor. You know what God didn't say here? He didn't say, when you come to the Bible, go to the internet and see what other people have to say about my word. He didn't say that. He said, you come and seek me, and I'm going to teach you. Right? You can't believe how many people get in discussions with other people who found something on the internet to argue with. That's all they do. We have stuff over there. You know, the reason that we leave the stuff up there on the internet is for one reason. We just want to help people get on the right path so when they get in this book, they don't go into the ditches and they can go in there and feed themselves in the words of God. Don't you know that God knows what your attitude about these words is where you sit in your seat right now? We want to be a help. We want to help direct you back to the truth. But the idea is to get to the truth and then get on your face before God and say, I'm here to listen to instruction. I want to be wise. I don't want to refuse it. I'm simple. I'm a fool. I need it. I love your words. I'm seeking you early. God says, that, give that guy something. Give that woman something. And wisdom is loaded with something for you. Now, I started out and I asked you earlier when we began this message, I said, would you like to have favor with God? And I heard amens all over the place. He said, oh, I didn't realize the price was so high. You mean I got to dig around in that book? Exactly what I mean. You know what's fun? What's fun is to get in the Bible and you're reading and you know by whatever means the Holy Spirit communicates with you when you read that God's trying to tell you something in the passage you're reading. What's fun is to put the Bible down for a moment, get on your face before God or your knees before God, however you approach Him when you're really seeking Him in prayer, and say, God, I know you're trying to show me something out of the passage, but I haven't seen it yet. And I come to you asking you, please, to show me what it is that you want me to see. And you go back and you open it up, and there it is. You ever had that happen to you? I'm telling you, that is a delightful thing. And in that, you know two things. You know you have favor with God because He showed you. And in that, you know you have favor with God because He says, if you find me, you'll obtain favor of the Lord. If you find me, you'll obtain favor of the Lord. You want favor with God. I think a few less people want it now than at the beginning. There were a lot more people that wanted favor with the Lord at the beginning of this message. Now they found us a little price tag. They're kind of like, well, okay, over here, over there, one more. You want favor with the Lord? Amen. I do. I want favor with, and I want it for you. Okay, then yield to the righteousness of Jesus Christ that's in you. Because that's how you found favor with Him initially. Right? Hold to mercy and truth. All right? And then find wisdom and go after it every day. Every day. When I got turned around with the Lord, let me just give you a brief testimony, then I'm going to give you one more thing. But let me give you this. I was a teenager when I first heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I know there was a testimony of the Spirit of God that I had gotten saved. And actually, there were times of prayer, and God was answering prayer. There were times of telling other people about the Lord, and some other people got saved. But somewhere along the way, listen, I was allured by the silver and the choice gold and the rubies. I got into the banking business. And maybe there's a banker here. I'm not telling you that this is going to do to you what it did to me. I'm telling you, if you don't seek favor with God when you go into your work, you're going to get off track. That's what happened to me. All right, so without going into what all took place, but from that time, there was a great shift in my desire. There was a great shift in my direction. I wasn't concerned about favor with the Lord until I was 32 years old. And you know the testimony. I picked up the Bible and began to read it for myself. God showed me from His perspective, the truth about me. I was pretending to be this, but I was really that. God showed that to me and brought me to my knees. I literally was so overwhelmed with what happened in a 10-year period of time in my life, I honestly did not believe God would let me live. I didn't. That was my frame of mind that night. And so when I prayed and I said to the Lord, if I wake up in the morning and we're going your way, not mine, I really believed that there was a good possibility I wasn't going to wake up in the morning. Obviously, I did. You don't have to worry about the outcome of the story. I woke up. Okay? We started going his way, not mine. Doesn't mean it's been, I love what Pastor Keck said. It's not been a straight course. It's been a bing, bang, you know, but we're getting there. The path is upward. All right, so we're getting there. Well, here's what I want you to understand. The next day, did not think I had favor with the Lord because I'd been so bad. Do you get that? I came to him in truth, confessed what I knew, received his mercy, but I did not feel accepted in the beloved. But I knew this. I knew that I needed to read my Bible. So I'd go to work, and as soon as I got out of the bank and I got home, I would get out of my suit. I had a dormer type of closet, and there was a little desk and table in there with a light. And as soon as I got out of those, I'd put on sweatpants and a t-shirt. I'd open my Bible and I'd read and search. And you know what I found out? I found out through taking time in these words of God, then every afternoon going through these words, seeking. I was learning some Bible. You know what, though? I was coming into favor with God. I needed that. I needed to know that I was in favor with the Lord. Do you understand? Bible reading strengthened the relationship that I had with God. I wasn't going around beating myself up all the time for 10 years of wasted living. I came to the Bible and God put me on another path and said, "It's all right, child. My mercy with my truth have purged the iniquity. You are accepted in the beloved," and I began to know that I had favor with God. This book saved my life. I would have been consumed in horrid feelings about my unworthiness to be called a child of God. This book will help you seek its wisdom. Okay, one more. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 2. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 2, "A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn." Okay, that's very clear. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord. Here's the point. The Lord will bless those who are good with favor. Not those who act good, those who are good. He says right here, a good man, not a man that acts good. A man who is good. A good man. We're not being gender specific here. A good woman. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord. You want favor with the Lord? Be good. You know what the problem with too many Christians is? They act good, but they aren't good. And he said, I want you to be good. Who are good. I love coming to church, and one of the reasons I love coming to church is you all are so well behaved when we're here. We get to see each other on our best behavior when we're here. But it may not always be like that. I like those situations. I don't do this purposefully, but there's every once in a while where you're coming in the parking lot, right, and somebody else is coming in the parking lot at the same time you are, and you can tell by the demeanor of the two faces in the front seat of that car that things ain't not going well. Right? And then they walk in, and the first person they see, "Hi, how you doing? Praise the Lord." Yeah, I'm like, "Oh, brother, it wasn't like that 30 seconds ago." Seconds ago there were two dogs in that car fighting each other, teeth on the neck, and all of a sudden now it's all just, but yeah, we know how to act good, but do we know how to be good? Oh, there's such a difference as that. There's such a difference in that. You know, if you want real favor with the Lord, you're not going to find favor by being on your best behavior around here. I'm glad that you are. I really am. You know, I'm glad you took a shower before you came here and brushed your teeth, comb your hair. You're looking good. But it's easy to look good and not be good. The Pharisees were the best looking people around. They were wicked, the Lord said, on the inside. He couldn't stand it. And you know, the Lord hates hypocrisy. If you're not good, you're not good. But you can change that. And you can be good. I can't even give this illustration. You know, I'm going to have to start watching TV again just to come up with what you guys are watching now so I can say, you remember that guy there in that show? Because I was going to give you something from Leave It to Beaver. I don't even think they show the reruns anywhere, you know? Oh, my goodness. Sorry about that. Wally Cleaver, in case you're wondering who I was talking about. He always acted good, but he was not good. You want favor with the Lord? Be good. Be good. You know whether you've been naughty or nice. You know whether you've picked switches in your stocking or present under the tree. Other people don't know, but you know. Let me tell you what, when you find favor with the Lord, you're going to find something that is so precious to you, you won't do anything to upset that. So if you're doing something that's not good and you know it's not good and the Lord's been on you about changing that, I say this, change it, find favor with God. You'll like the favor with God so much better than the pleasure you got out of the thing you were doing when you weren't good. You'll quit doing that forever because you love favor with God. It's that valuable. Mary had it, Samuel had it, and you can have it. It makes you very noteworthy in God's book when your name is written there that you were concerned about having favor with God. Be good. Be good. You'll be very happy that you did. Father, we're very thankful today for an opportunity to look in the Bible and just see some things that you put in plain, clear writing. There is nothing difficult, nothing over our head in the scripture that we looked at right here today about finding favor with you. And we're thankful for that. Now we ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to bless her in this invitation. Your people, many in here confessed and others who probably wanted and did not confess, they want favor with you. I want it for them. I want it for myself. And I'm asking you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ during this invitation, you'll really impress upon our hearts. That's the area I was talking to you about right there that you need to go to work on. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. All right, at the beginning of this message, I said, if you want favor with the Lord, you're going to have to be righteous. And that righteousness is a gift to you by Jesus Christ when you receive Him as your Savior. Is there somebody here today, right now, that would raise your hand and say, preacher, I'm not saved, but I want to be saved? If you raise your hand, I'll know to stick around and visit with you right after the service, show you the gospel from the scripture so you can make an informed decision about receiving Christ as your Savior and being saved. Please don't be bashful. Everybody's head is bowed except our song leader up here. We're the only ones that are even looking. I don't want to put the people through an endurance contest as you wait to try to sort this out. If you need help, we'll sort it out privately in my office. Just raise your hand right now and say, preacher, I need to talk to you about getting saved. Anybody? I'm looking. Put it up high enough so I can see you. Okay. You're here today. You didn't raise your hand, but you're saved, and you know right now you're not in favor with the Lord. You know what you should do? You should find favor with the Lord. You ought to step out of your seat during this hymn, make your way to this altar. You say, well, if I do that, everybody's going to know. Get over them. You're trying to find favor with God. You'll find favor with men when they know you're dealing with God in truth and mercy. All right? So you get out of that seat when we're singing and come down to this altar and you tell the Lord, look, you showed me why it is I'm not having favor with you right now, and we're going to take care of that business here and walk out of here working on it so that we do walk in favor with you. Respond to the Lord in the invitation. You'll be glad you did. Father, thank you. Have your will and your way in the invitation. For Jesus' sake, amen.